Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Now you listen to me. I want details, and I want them right now. I don't have a job. I have no place to go. You're not in the mood? Well, you get in the mood.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
We try and teach our children not to make fun of others.
Mongoloid Mike, is that what you used to call him? He bust his head open with a stick. Remember that?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You think you're ready to run with the bulls?
I've been earning and burning, snapping necks and cashing checks.
Look, Brendan, here's the thing. It's the Catalina wine mixer. Okay.
Ah! Are you saying pow? What are you saying?
Bah! Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, Luke, how come there's no ice in my lemonade? Sorry. Drop down or you give me 10 now.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. If you missed the first hour, check it out at 1080thefan.com. Just Russell Wilson, really. Franchise quarterback in the Pacific Northwest signs his big deal with the Hawks. They get the deal done.
Hey, we also talked some NBA, though.
Yeah, we opened the show with some Clippers coming back from a 31-point deficit.
Some hot NBA talk.
The only team to blow a 3-1 lead in the finals and the only team to blow a 31-point lead in the playoffs. Congratulations, Golden State. That's what I'll remember you most for. We have a lot to get to here in the second. It's mainly basketball, also in the final hour as well, with some Game 2 talk. Matt Pinto is the play-by-play voice for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he will join us at 2:15. But the Trailblazers have game two tonight. Up 1-0. Paul George, the big question mark. He had this to say in terms of how he is feeling.
Yeah, pain-free. I mean, it's well enough now to throw out any, you know, injury problems. It didn't have an effect during the game. Regardless of me taking hits, falling to the deck, it didn't have any effect. Again, like I said, fact of the matter is I haven't shot or picked the ball up for 4 days. Yesterday was first day giving it a go on the court, so you know, it's going to be some, you know, shots that go in and out, shots that don't fall. But you know, I had a good day of prepare today, so I feel good about it.
He feels good about it. Billy Donovan, by the way, told the media today at Shoot Around that he is good to go. He is playing. It's not even a question.
Mm-hmm.
I think they understand their season is probably on the line tonight. You can't go down 0-2 to Portland, especially a team with confidence and playing so tough. And I know they allowed them back in that, but you just don't want to go down 0-2. The thing about Paul George, and we'll see how he is once they start this game. I'll tell you, as a Blazer fan right now, I am nervously terrified that he is going to be right tonight.
Playoff P's going to show up.
Because, Dirt, he missed shots. And, you know, watching that in person, I watched him warm up. And then watching him play in person, did he miss most of his shots? Yes, he did. But he took a lot of hits, and he showed no pain at all on his face. No grimacing when he took big shots. If he goes out tonight, I am not going to be stunned if he drops 45, and that's why I'm nervous.
Well, we'll find out if he's telling the truth or not. His argument is, as you just heard, it wasn't pain that kept him from making a lot of shots in game one. It was rust. He was in pain after the Houston game, wanted to rest it, didn't take any shots, didn't dribble a basketball, and he didn't attempt a shot until right before game one when they were warming up. And he said yesterday at Shoot Around, he got back into his rhythm, and now he's feeling good for game two. That really is what game two, I think, will come down to. I mean, OKC, Portland played good defense at times, and I think you give Cantor some credit. He wasn't quite as bad as maybe we thought. They had open looks, and they just didn't hit them. And I think Portland's defensive game plan will be the same tonight. It is, let's pack it in. Let's try and take away the paint. Don't let Russell Westbrook or Paul George get to the hoop whenever they want. Dare them to shoot. But that's going to change if Paul George starts knocking down some threes, because some of them were contested. A lot of them were open. And if he just hits at his season average clip, maybe Oklahoma City wins game one.
I think you forget at times, too, being 6'9", he can shoot over almost anybody.
He doesn't need a lot of space to get a shot off.
He doesn't. Yeah. He's got that length, and he can take advantage of it. here is the nightmare scenario. He comes out and he hits his first jump shot, whether it's a two or three, and then Cantor picks up early fouls.
Yeah, that's a disaster scenario.
I think in that situation, you are just hoping to God Damian Lillard can carry the team with CJ and carry him through a span where Cantor can come back. Because if you can't and you have an off night and Dame or CJ just can't hit a shot, this will be tied 1-1. And I think that is what I'm most interested in, is the Paul George health. And if he starts like 0-for-3, are we suddenly thinking, dude, this is a lot more serious than they're letting on? They're not going to admit this, but damn, he's not right. Watching the way they attack Cantor defensively is going to be the thing that decides this game tonight, in my opinion. Because even with that bad shooting performance, Dirt, Oklahoma City found themselves within one with about two and some change to go.
They did, yeah.
If you put Cantor in serious foul trouble, you're getting Zach Collins and Myers Leonard, and sure, they can foul guys hard, but producing and actually stepping up to contribute, that's another thing. And I think that is your nightmare, is if Cantor gets in early foul trouble.
Well, and also, I mean, it's not just Paul George. I know he's their best shooter, and he had an off night of 4-15 from three. It was everybody else that missed, too. And Russell Westbrook doesn't have a good reputation for a reason as a shooter, but it's not like he was just awful all year. Like, I'll go back to the last time they were in town and played in the regular season when they won that overtime game. He was 14-28 from the floor, and he was 5-8 from three. So I think we focus a lot on Paul George just because of the shoulder and the question and all that stuff. Russell Westbrook wasn't good in game one either. And this is where I think it's important as a fan, and I did, this has been my, I preached this all season for 82 games. Don't get too high and don't get too low. Like, just there's going to be ebbs and flows. You're going to have good weeks and you're going to have bad weeks. There's going to be injuries. Stuff's going to come and go. Just kind of maintain it, and we'll see where the team is at the end of the year. I feel that way about a playoff series too. Like, it is so easy to ride, whether you're a player or a fan, really, it's so easy to ride the highs of a game one win or a game two loss, like ride those lows. You just got to remember this is going to be a long series, and it's going to be about adjustments. And I think the main thing to stay positive on if you're a Portland fan is the fact that your two stars came out and played very good basketball in game one.
Yeah,
it was a non-starter last year. You had no chance to win without Dame and CJ playing at a high level. The fact that Dame came out, knocked some early shots down, he kind of shrugged it all off, hit the first 30-footer, and you knew he was good to go. He needs to play like that the entire series. Like, we get caught up sometimes in talking about role players and should Rodney Hood be better, or can Curry step up, or do you trust Collins on defense? Like, the one thing we all know, and it's a fact, is that you need Dame and CJ to play at that level if you want to have any chance to win games moving forward in this series. And it was a really big positive that they did in game one.
This is not going to make Blazer fan feel great, but Scott Foster is officiating in Portland tonight.
I know. It's a disaster.
A lot of people are nervous that the fix is in to get Oklahoma City some more free throws. I think you're spot on with just observing what everybody did, because it wasn't just Paul George was cold. Like, Ferguson
everybody
couldn't buy
could
a bucket.
Make a shot, yeah.
Westbrook wasn't hitting anything.
They only made, I think only one other player made a three, because they were 5 of 30-something as a team. Paul George made four of them.
And he made two of them, I want to say, at the very end.
He did,
yeah. When they really needed it to try to stick around. Where do you think the city is at? I know we're an optimistic fan bunch. I know we can go into games and we don't care, like, the odds, no matter what you or I or anybody else says. It's like, we don't care about the odds. We can do this. I know it's going to be loud and rocking tonight. Where are the nerves for Blazer fans that this is tied 1-1?
Well, they should be there. But I also, again, I don't think it's a disaster if you lose this game tonight. You've proven and you have confidence that you can beat them in a game. Like, if you lose tonight, it doesn't mean you're going to go on to lose the series.
Well, do you think they can go win in OKC? I guess that's a larger question, because you might be right in the sense of you're not doomed. But if you're not sure they can win on the road, you're looking at being down 3-1 coming back for game
five. Coming back and having to win. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't gamble on it, but I wouldn't put it past them. That's just kind of the way Portland's been all year. My opinion of the series did not change after game one. I'm still taking Oklahoma City in six. You know what'll change my mind? You win tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
If you go out and win tonight and you prove that it's, you know, say OKC shoots the ball a little bit better, Paul George looks okay, some of the question marks are still there, but you still find a way to protect home court and you win and you go up 2-0, my opinion of this series will absolutely change tonight. This is just the punch and counterpunch that you get to win a seven-game series. Like, Portland needed to throw that haymaker in game one, and they did. They held on. They white-knuckled it, and they held on for a win.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get the – I mean, it's a cliche, but you're going to get the counterpunch from OKC. I think you're going to get their best effort tonight.
I think you need to have other role players step up more offensively. Now, Aminu and Mo, maybe not so much. I mean, it's nice if they do. If Mo hits a couple shots, if Aminu can actually shoot the ball. I don't believe Al Farouk attempted a three until late.
I think he only attempted to go back and look.
He didn't attempt a ton.
He wasn't shooting at all. He was just wired in defensively.
Him and Mo didn't do anything offensively.
No, their MO was let's be.
Well, Mo was in foul trouble. So
when I think he's going to be in foul trouble all series, I think he knows what he is. And what he is a guy that's going to pester and really bully and try to push around Paul George with that shoulder.
Aminu and Harkless were a combined 0 of 2 from 3. They each took one.
I remember Mo's miss, and I couldn't remember if Aminu shot.
I guess I don't understand the dynamic where everybody thinks Oklahoma City is going to play immensely better and Portland isn't. Because outside of the first quarter.
Right.
Portland did not play a good game outside of the first quarter.
18 turnovers. I don't think they're going to turn it over that much. I think they're going to take better care of the ball, execute the offense a little bit better, and then it's going to come down. I think they're going to be able to get Mo and Chief a few more open looks, maybe not threes, but stuff. And especially if they dive to the hoop, I think they're going to run more guys at Dame. So if they can set better screens, dive harder, roll harder, I think there'll be opportunities there.
Well, what I would say that at those swag is I think you're right. I just for the people who go the route of Oklahoma City will play better, Portland will not. I think it's looking at the defense. And Oklahoma City is a top, 4 or 5 team in the NBA this year as a whole. And again, I said this watching it live. I'm like, God, these stupid turnovers. And really they are dumb turnovers. But Oklahoma City was really deceptive. Again, I thought they were just off their man enough to get somebody to throw an errant pass.
They did it all year. They led the NBA in steals this year. That's who they are.
They move really well. They communicate. And so I think the people that maybe go with what Swag is suggesting of like, why is there this Portland will play worse, Oklahoma City will play much better crowd, I think it's because they think Oklahoma City is going to be locked in from the start defensively, whereas they weren't locked in until the start of the second quarter. That first quarter was god-awful for them.
Right.
I also look at the role players, like I was mentioning, not so much Aminu and Mo. If they hit, they hit. But Rodney Hood has got to give you more. And Seth Curry, I thought he showed that he's capable. He needs to shoot the ball. He needs to be a little more aggressive. And I'm okay with that. If he takes 3 more shots away from CJ, who, what did CJ finish with stat-wise?
CJ was 9 of 24, 24 points.
He cooled down. He got off to a good start. He cooled down. If you take 3 or 4 shots away from CJ, and you tell me Seth gets them, I don't know if I'm really that upset. And I think that's what it's going to take. It's not going to just be every game. Dame and CJ combined for 50-some-odd points. Cantor gives you 20 more, and there you go. You're not going to get that every game in this series, in my opinion. I think having guys like Hood or Curry step up and give you more than 5, and Curry finished with, 8 in that game?
Curry had 8, 3 of 6. Knocked down 2 threes.
You get one of those guys to 15 or 14, I think that's what you're looking for tonight, is those guys to step up and give you a little more offensively, because you know Aminu's going to be locked in defensively. Hopefully Mo stays engaged. He has been engaged now for 2 straight games. That Laker game was big for him.
Yeah.
He put everything out there in the last game, and I know he got in foul trouble. But again, I think that's what his role in the series is going to be, is just to be an annoyance to Paul George. You get those other guys to step up offensively, I think you're going to feel real good about their chances to go up 2-0 tonight.
Well, and how much defense does Paul George play on Dame?
Yeah.
Or CJ? Do they want to go to that early? Do they want to wait, let him settle into the game, get his offense going?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a looming thing, I think, moving forward in this series, is he's probably the best defender on the floor, and they can choose when they want to use that.
Yeah. What do you guys think? How do you feel about Portland's chances? 55305 is the Better You Today text line. We'll read some thoughts on the Blazers. Game 2, big one tonight. At the Moda Center, 7:30, more like 7:40-ish tip. It's going to be a late one, but it's going to be rocking. Do you guys think they go up 2-0, or do you think the series falls to 1-1? We'll read some thoughts on that. Also, the NBA playoffs, Game 2, and a lot of other series, and NFL true or false. All of that is ahead. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. The Blazers won't do it because Stotts is too stubborn, but I would pull a Pelicans from last year and double Russ early and say, you are not getting to the rack. Pass it and see if OKC can shoot it to win, and see if that frustrates Russ and makes him implode. P1 Dustin with his thoughts there. Somebody else says, Scott Foster. Need I say more? No, you don't. Another thought, I love my Blazers, but they were lucky to get a win in Game 1, and I don't think they'll get a win in Game 2.
I wouldn't say luck. I don't like the word lucky.
Well, they were able to, I don't like the word lucky either, because they deserve to win that game.
I understand the point that you're trying to bring, and I agree with the sentiment. I just don't like using the word lucky.
It continued, I would not expect Oklahoma City to shoot bad for a second straight game. P1 Jesse, cautiously optimistic.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to be going into Game 2.
Somebody else, stay physical with George, clog the lane.
Yeah.
Force stat patter Westbrook to shoot from the outside. If Turner plays, they will have 20-plus turnovers.
Yeah, he wasn't very good in game one.
OKC may not shoot 15% from three, but I don't think our bench is only going to score 18 either.
Yeah, and that goes back to what Swag's point was. I mean, I do expect OKC to play better, but can Portland play better? I mean, they had 39 in the first quarter, and then it really fell off in the second and third to the point where you found yourself in a dogfight. And then the fourth quarter, they picked it up again, and I thought made the plays when they needed to get a win. Can you have a more balanced effort? I don't expect Portland to come out and go for 39 again and not miss in the first quarter. But will it be a more balanced approach where maybe you don't have that fall off or the drop off in the second or third quarter?
Well, I'll say, too, if they're to fall tonight and this series is tied 1-1, like OKC is going to march out of there ecstatic, pumped. And I know there's going to be a portion of Blazer fans and maybe even media that go, yeah, see, this is we're not shocked. Here we go again. But if the game's close, I'm not going to walk out of there and go, well, there's no shot now. If they can keep it close and they're not playing well and Oklahoma City plays decently better, you can't walk out too disappointed. And what I mean by that is I think you still have this belief that even if a lot of people don't give you any shot to win in OKC, Dame will still find a way to keep you alive in this series and give you a shot. Now, if they get blown out, I think that's an entirely different conversation. Yeah. But if this is a close loss, and assuming they don't play as well, I don't think you walk out of there going, oh my God, we're defeated. It's done. You still have another home game. The series will not be over without you getting one more homestand.
Yeah.
And you just hope to God that on the road, they travel and they play with the same intensity, the same aggression, the same mindset that they showed in game one. And if it's close loss, obviously in game two as well.
The mindset out of a win and loss are not always the same. They're not all created equal. And I'll just even use game one as the example of that, right? Like, let's put our OKC hats on and say we're Thunder fans right now. How are you feeling after game one? You're not terrified. You didn't play great. You couldn't make a shot. Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. You lost by 5 on the road. You were down by 1 point with a little over 2 minutes to go in game one of a series when Paul George hadn't picked up a basketball in 5 days.
You're more worried about that, I think, than losing game one is Paul George's health.
But my point is, you lost that game, but you're feeling okay. If Portland had built that 19-point lead, maintained a 19-point lead, and gone on to win that game by 21, you're probably not feeling the same way.
100, yeah.
And vice versa with Portland winning that game. If they control and they win it by 20 and they play the way they did throughout, you know, the early on and continued it and maintained it, I think we're feeling a lot more confident and optimistic about game two. So I'm not going to get too high or too low with the win or a loss. How does it look and how do you get there? Does Paul George still not look healthy? Because even if OKC finds a way to eke out a win, Portland doesn't play great, but Paul George still isn't healthy and not playing good basketball, I'm not terrified moving forward. The scary part is if Paul George isn't lying.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, look.
And he just looks amazing, right?
If he comes out and he's knocking down shots, he takes a couple of hits on it, he falls down to the floor, but he plays well and he says that he's healthy, because that's the scary part about injuries in the playoffs is you have extra time. They have a day off. Every time you're at the same place, you have a day off in between games. It's not like the NBA regular season. And now when you have these travel days come up, you got 3 days off. They don't play again until Friday. Mm-hmm. So he's 2 days off. They get the extra day off in between. So it's going to get him time to get healthy. And that, to me, continues to be the main storyline in this series.
Now, I do buy a lot of the opinions that have been floated out there that if we lose game one, I think you were one of them. Windhorst also, when he was on our show, like, you don't want to play from behind down 0-1.
Yeah, they would have lost Sunday. I would have been doom and gloom.
Well, yeah, I would have too, because you blew a 19-point lead, and you lost at home, and you lost 11 games in a row. Like, I would have been there with everybody, except the people who are all, you know, the eternal optimists who would have told us that we hate the Blazers. I would have been there. But you know what the important part was? And I know this doesn't matter to most people. This matters to me. Royce Young wrote an article this morning on ESPN.com.
I'm glad you brought this up.
About Dame and leadership and how, you know, he's had his struggles in the postseason. His numbers, as Richmond has pointed out, they dip a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he is steadfast in the belief that if he just continues to grind and work and not panic, the organization and the players are going to follow that and it'll translate at some point. Now, does that mean a title? No, it doesn't. But that dude came into game one and knew how big game one was for them to break that streak, how big it was for the fans to watch that in person. And he balled out and he had 30 points and he got off to a great start. What set it apart for me was they blew that lead. It got down to one dirt. Yeah. And what happened?
He hit a dagger three.
He stepped up and he said, dude, screw this. I'm not letting this happen. And there are stars in this league that when they do that, there's an air of confidence I think you get from that, from the fan point, and I think largely More importantly, I should say, from a teammate standpoint,
right,
that Dame is there. Dame is going to step up and help you and maybe even bail you out when you need it. I'm not telling you it's going to happen every game, but there that means something. That meant something to me to watch that happen because I was sitting there going, oh, my God, they're going to lose this game. They're only up one. OKC right. has not played well.
Everybody was thinking that. When it got down to, what, 93-92, I think, or 92-91,
yeah,
93-92. Right? Everybody was thinking that.
And he just – and Westbrook wasn't even ready for that three. Yeah. He just pulled up and said, dude, screw this. I'm not waiting for screens when I'm hitting the shot. The place erupted in a way that felt very similar to how I am explaining it of, yes, our guy, our franchise player – stepped up in the biggest moment for our team and is saying he is not going to let them lose today. That matters. And I'm just going to put faith that he can continue to play that way and hope to God that they don't double and Portland gets screwed if they do.
Well, I think, look, Dame wasn't dominant for all four quarters, but he got you off to the start you needed to get off to. He hit the opening shot, hit a bunch of them there in the first quarter, I think, just to allow everybody to take a breath and ease the tension a little bit from a playoff game. And then, as you're mentioning, when they needed it the most, he came up with the big shot. He scored 30 points in game one. It's important to remind people he averaged 18 points per game last year against New Orleans. So he went out with 30 in the first game, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had a similar performance tonight. You mentioned the Royce Young piece, who, by the way, he was on with Dusty and Cam this morning, and yeah, it was good. So go check the podcast.
He's really good at what he does.
He had this. I wanted to read this paragraph from the article because this has been floating around Twitter, and I didn't see it at first. Then I saw this, and I was like, I got to go read this thing. So let me just read this. I'm going to read this real quickly. He says, quote, there are leaders in a locker room, and there are caretakers of an organization. Lillard is naturally both. He calls a car service to help a new teammate like Cantor get home. He watches G League games, full games, to give feedback to Gary Trent Jr. and Anfernee Simons. Lillard and McCollum fly commercial to Las Vegas to watch the Summer League. They're young players. He has taken the 15th man on the roster on a shopping spree to get outfitted to sit on the NBA bench. He has invested in building the team, texting O'Shea about prospects while watching the NCAA tournament, wondering if one is a first-round talent.
Yeah.
I love, look, we know it, and it gets talked about a lot, but then you read something from an outsider's perspective. Royce Young doesn't cover the team.
He actually got some blowback from Thunder fans.
I'm sure
he's supposed
did.
To be the Thunder
he's
guy.
He's the quote-unquote Thunder guy, and I get that, and he's in town covering this series, but I love reading stuff like that about the star of the team, and it makes it even sweeter when he plays the way he did in game one.
I didn't buy his answer, but I thought his approach was very brilliant in the post game on game one, because he was asked, how big is this to snap that streak after what happened last year? And his answer basically was like, last year's last year. Yeah. We're here not to just win a game.
Right.
Like he dismissed it. And although I don't buy that, I think it was very important for that locker room.
Sure.
And I think Dame would even probably privately acknowledge that. I love the approach of, we're not worried about the past, man. We're just here to play basketball this postseason. Put your cards on the table and see if you can win a playoff series this year. All right, we got a lot more to get to, the other NBA playoff matchups as well. But coming up next, NFL True or False. Find out what's true and what's false with Jason Swigard.
That tune.
Hey, welcome back in. 132. We still got to get to what Philly did last night. That changed your opinion on the Sixers. How much pressure? How tight is the sphincter in Denver and Toronto tonight? Get to that. We have not got to Fartgate yet. Fartgate still on the to-do list. So that's coming up in the last hour and a half of the show. And Matt Pinto, who is the play-by-play guy of Oklahoma City, he will join us at 2:15. All that's still to come. But now, it is time for NFL True or False. What do we got today, Swigard?
Well, let's not ignore the main story. Russell Wilson, indeed, getting his contract extension in Seattle, $140 million for an extra 4 years after this last year on his current deal. True or false, the Seahawks will win another Super Bowl before this new deal expires.
Oh, well, they better. It was a waste of time. I'll tell you that much right now.
Oh. You know what?
I hate that question. Why'd you do that?
What the hell? I'm going to say true.
Wow. Okay.
You got 4 years. You can still draft and develop some other guys. We'll see what they do with some of their big defensive players and their extensions. But I look around the NFC. Green Bay is going to be good always with Aaron Rodgers, but there's a prove-it factor there with LaFleur, their new head coach. Minnesota hasn't proven it. I'm not buying Chicago this year. I don't know about Trubisky yet.
How much longer is Breeze going to be
with
New Orleans?
How long is Breeze around with New Orleans, right?
Who's the next big quarterback, though, not in the NFL yet?
The Rams at some point are going to have to pay everybody and make decisions on guys and let guys go, so that's looming in their near future. Yeah, I think there is a conceivable path to them winning a Super Bowl. I'd say this is true.
I also see a conceivable path. I hate this
Will
question.
They take it?
I hate this question. Because if you told me Mahomes won 3 in a row, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, there's some young, great quarterbacks in this.
Yeah, win, not just get there.
Oh, yeah, win 3 in a row? Well, like, if you told me, I wouldn't be like,
Brady's sticking around for at least 2 more seasons.
I'm going to say false because I can already see everybody talking about how it's too much money is what screwed them.
No, this is true.
This I love the confidence from an NFC fan, by the way.
This is true. Oh, the Cowboys will be mediocre for...
Right? Wentz? Do you see there's a whole other story about Wentz? How now his back's still banged up. He's not healthy. Yeah.
He's starting to be a weird dude to me, too.
Weird dude, man. Weird dude.
His old Bryce Harper thing was... what's going on there?
Ooh. Yeah.
We'll stay in the NFC West. Rams running back Todd Gurley telling the media his leg feels pretty good as L.A. began its offseason workouts this week. True or false, Gurley will play more than 14 games for the Rams in 2019.
And I hate to do it, but I'm going to say false.
I'm also saying false.
That's
a really healthy season, by the way.
And also, how long ago? The Super Bowl was, 2 months ago now? Over 2 months ago, right? March, April?
Yeah.
How it works?
Two months and a week.
And it's just now pretty good?
Yeah, McVay was on with Eisen like a week or two ago, and he was asked about Gurley, and McVay was very weird with his answer. He was like, oh, you know, Todd got a little banged up, but I thought he played pretty well. It's like, no, you're lying to us. He was much more injured than you're letting on. If he plays 14 games next year, that's a healthy season. I think you're okay with him missing 2 games.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to – it's just tough, man, that position. I'll say false.
False. I certainly think, I think the Rams might have their playoff position secured at the end of the season, so he'll sit at least one, and I think he'll at some point have to take a week or two off during the season for whatever. Just, if he is healthy, just the way he plays and the way he runs, so I think he's more in the 10 to 12, 13 game range. We'll stay with the injury front. Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota telling the media at the team's first offseason workouts he's added 5 to 10 pounds of muscle this season in an attempt to avoid injury.
Aha!
True or false, Mariota plays all 16 games in 2019.
Sorry, dude. This is false. The track record.
This is categorically false.
The track record. I feel bad for him.
I love my boy, but come on, man.
Okay, you know... He might do this true or false at some point down the road.
Okay.
I'm almost wondering why he didn't go more the direction true or false. Mariota proves he's the franchise player Tennessee wants him to be. Because if he doesn't this year, he's out.
Yeah, that's just it. You got one more year. Maybe he floats around as a backup and gets chances. Like that, you can have that kind of career. Be like a Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of guy.
When you were out from Mexico, there was a story I talked about on the show. Two CBS NFL writers did a podcast, and they said, they picked Mariota as the successor for Tom Brady. They think New England goes that route.
Sign me up. I'd love that. So. Put him with Belichick and McDaniel. Oh, absolutely. Those two things also on your question kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because I do think if he's able to be healthy for 16 games, I think he can have a productive season. I just don't have much confidence that that can happen. Ooh. And adding 5 to 10 pounds... That's good.
Is it? I don't know if it's... Does that mean he doesn't get hurt?
But he was dealing with, like, nerve damage last year. Like, adding 5 to 10 pounds does not help with nerve damage, to my knowledge.
Well, take this a step further. As much as you love him, and he is the goat at Oregon, if you're Tennessee today, you woke up and found out your number you might have to beat is $35 million. Are you wanting to pay Marcus Mariota more than $35 million?
Yeah, he's going to be if he has a good year this year.
Let's say he has a good year.
I think he's a perfect tag candidate.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, go do it again. Like, that was nice. Let's see that.
That was a sample size.
Let's see that back-to-back years, and then we'll talk contract extension.
I'm going true with this.
Well done, Swag. I like that.
I think he's applying everything he's gone through over the first few years and understanding how better to prepare him and what it means to get through a full season. Hopefully the Titans can give him a little bit more protection with some draft and maybe a few more weapons to get the ball out of his hands a little quicker as well. That would help.
What is this going to be? His fifth offensive coordinator in 6 years, I think, right? Or fourth in five years, whatever it is.
I think Mariota's smart enough to understand in his evolution what it takes in terms of offseason preparation, what his body needs to be when he shows up for the start of the season, that he'll be better prepared for it.
All right,
finally, the NFL set to release the complete 2019 regular season schedule Wednesday night, 5 o'clock, as they try to steal some NBA playoff thunder. True or false, the Cleveland Browns will have more primetime games than the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2019. That's Monday night, Sunday night, and Thursday night games.
A hot take, because Pittsburgh rates well.
I'll say this, if it isn't true, it's a mistake.
What if Pittsburgh's good and Cleveland sucks?
Cleveland is far more entertaining than Pittsburgh next year.
But what if they're not?
It's still a more if they're a dumpster fire,
like
that's still a great story.
Points a game.
That's still that won't happen. I hope not, at least.
Book it.
That's still a more entertaining story to me than what Pittsburgh's gonna put out there. This is true.
Now, I know you can actually find the schedule leaked. I'm not going to do that. I like
Not the whole thing. There's some individual games that are...
Right, but you can find a couple of the prime times.
Also, controversial, I'm going to throw this out there because we talked about one during a commercial break. So there's rumors that on Monday, the opening Monday night, you're going to get Cleveland at New York.
The Jets.
So the Browns at the Jets. You poo-pooed it. You weren't interested in that game.
That doesn't... No.
So everything Cleveland has going with Darnold in year two...
Cleveland and Darnold?
No, they're at playing the Jets. So they're playing Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell in his first game as a Jet. That does nothing for you?
The truth is, I just don't think the Jets are going to be good.
No, it'll be in Cleveland.
Either way, fine.
Yeah.
Same applies.
That doesn't... I'm not saying Baker...
Odell's first game in Cleveland?
I'm not telling you Baker is a stratosphere ahead of Darnold. I thought Darnold had some good moments and some bad moments, as expected. I need him to get me excited to want to watch him. He doesn't do... I haven't seen him do something for me to go, oh, at least with Baker. I know Baker could throw a TD, and that dude's going nuts, and he's dancing, or he's telling somebody to suck it. Darnold doesn't do any of that, and he wasn't that great last year. So,
okay.
And his team also doesn't have quite the talent on paper as Cleveland. So, yes, I did poo-poo that, and I will eat crow if that's a great game. But on that true or false, I will say this is false. I still think Pittsburgh, because of their history, they will get more primetime.
No, I think this is true. I think Steeler fans like having as many Sunday games as possible. They don't mind a Sunday night game, but I think in Pittsburgh, they'll do a lot of those Sunday late afternoon games. So the 4:25 starts Pittsburgh time, but they don't like to give up their Sundays. Yeah, Cleveland's going to be all over the place.
Somebody said, true or false, Sierra received an extension shortly after Russell got his.
Oh, come on. Grow up, people.
Oh, where's your turtle humping noises? It's actually probably pretty fitting right now.
The turtle wearing gold chains. Can we confirm or deny that report?
Yo, what's up, Seattle?
Oh, dear Lord. There's NFL true or false.
I tried to find it. I think you deleted it.
Did he take it off the page?
Sick bastard.
Every Tuesday at 1:30.
I can't leave that on that page.
No, that's too dangerous. Because you can just drop that at any random time.
Yeah. Well, we got Fartgate coming up.
We do. Let's get to that next, shall we?
Okay.
Did Max Kellerman fart on national television today? Okay. This is going to be an investigation. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We have the evidence. We will supply the evidence to you, and you can be the judge. Did he or did he not fart? That is next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Did not make it to the Glorious House of Gaines today.
Days off.
I had a dentist appointment this morning.
How'd that go?
I'll say this. I don't know how to feel about this. So I went to the dentist, and thankfully everything's okay. I had no cavities.
Yeah.
Woo. My dentist, so I wore flip-flops.
God, you're flip-flop guy everywhere.
That's Bush League.
Yeah, that is Bush League. Put some shoes in your car, put them on for the dentist, and then take them off. I went to the dentist, and then I went home. It was like at 8, so I was done at like 8:45, and then I went home, and then I came into work.
Nobody wants to smell your feet on that chair.
You can't smell. I don't stink that bad.
Not anymore, because of Manscaped.
That's right. My dentist asked me if I was from California.
Why?
Because I was wearing flip-flops.
I mean, that's kind of a fair question, considering we've had nothing but rain for like 2 weeks.
I was slightly offended, but now I'm wondering if I should, like,
look how you're dressed.
I'm questioning everything about myself now.
What's the weather right now?
Do I look like a Californian when I walk around?
What's out here right now in this window?
It's dry. That's all I need to know.
Hold on.
It is dry. It's not raining today, and the sun's actually peeking through the clouds occasionally.
No, those are dark rain clouds. It's going to rain later, and you're wearing a short sleeve shirt, shorts, and flip-flops.
55305, is it raining anywhere you are, or has it rained at all today? Yes or no? Because I haven't seen any rain. It's supposed to be dry today.
No.
It didn't pour. It's spring.
I'm wearing a golf
City.
Shirt and shorts, too.
Yeah.
Which I pretty much wear every day, no matter what.
But you hate pants.
Yes, I do hate
You're
pants.
You're weird.
I'm warm
blooded. But I'm wearing tennis shoes with socks.
I was offended by that question. As a proud Oregonian, I would like, you know. Hey, well, are you from California? You're wearing flip-flops.
I also don't think it helps that you just got back from Mexico, so you have a little bit of a tan, and he doesn't know that.
A little darker
That's
so sexist of you to assume my dentist is a man.
Well, you look like a guy who gets a man dentist. So what does that say about you, really? You Californian?
Yeah, I was offended by that, but that's all right. We move on.
You chose your attire.
I mean, I did, but
when I saw you today, because I came in later, saw you, I said, really? It might rain today. What are you doing?
Nah, I looked at the weather. It's all clouds. But Thursday's going to be like 75 degrees.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thursday's supposed to be super nice. I think
Thursday
we're
is in like 2 days from right now.
It's supposed to be 75 degrees.
You guys are liars.
No.
I'm getting mentally prepared for 75. I'm dressed for it.
Okay. Get the Zafro on the phone.
Let's go. Call him up. 75.
Let's call the best one, Mark Nelson.
Book it, Dano.
Did you guys see a while back Russia had a slap contest? If this is the weather Thursday.
You want a slap contest?
No, you guys don't get hit me back. No. I get one slap of both of you if you're that wrong.
By the way, speaking of weather, too, we'll get to Fartgate in a moment. Speaking of weather, did you see the outrage in the South? So Sunday of the Masters, I know this because my brother was kind of dealing with it, and there was obviously weather at Augusta. There were tornado warnings that went out. And there was, I believe it was an Atlanta base, but somebody can help me with that. But I read the article this morning. There was a weather news channel that cut into the coverage of the Masters on Sunday, like towards the end of the back nine.
No. That's where you use the little rolling
I know, but they did
at the bottom.
They cut in with the tornado warning. And there was a weather gal down there that got over 100 death threats.
Death threats over that?
Let me pull up the...
Well, that's a little...
People are idiots.
Over the top, but
just
yeah.
Wait. How long was she on though? Like 2 minutes? A minute?
Yeah, I'll pull it back up and I'll bring it up in the final hour.
It'd
but
be the worst if
I saw a picture of it. It was a female weather gal, and it was like she got 100 death threats from this.
It'd be bad if she cut in right before his par putt, and they didn't come back until. You know what I mean? You're like, God, did he blow this or did he get it?
Well, and some of them, too, wasn't even, I think in a lot of the cases, it wasn't even a full screen cut-in. Like, it was a picture-in-picture thing where they left the picture of the Masters up, and it was just somebody saying, hey,
no,
some questionable stuff heading your way.
You use the bottom scroll ticker thing, and
it's a good thing the emergency alert system didn't have to go, because that's not a ticker. That's a full screen blocker.
That's that one you have no control over.
Right.
That's pretty frustrating.
Isn't that funny? Not funny for her, but...
Well, death threats on the internet, are those real death threats to people anymore? Do we take those as serious as we used to?
Yeah, I think we do.
I think so.
2 years ago?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it was an Atlanta meteorologist.
By the way, I say this to somebody that hasn't had 100 death threats.
Yeah, she broke
internet.
Into live coverage of the final round of the Masters, cut into the CBS network for a tornado warning with a double box so viewers could still watch Tiger in his historic run. And they link a whole bunch. It's an awful announcing piece, and they link a whole bunch of tweets to it. And she tweeted out to everyone sending me death threats right now. You wouldn't be saying a damn thing if a tornado was ravaging your home this afternoon. Lives are more important than 5 minutes of golf.
I mean, she's not wrong there.
She's not wrong at all.
And it's also not like it's her decision to just cut into the event you care the most about.
There's a producer somewhere who decided
this is what we
need
to do.
In their infinite wisdom to do that.
So there you go. People take sports seriously. All right, we'll get back into the Blazers in the final hour. Let's get to this. So we are just diehard watchers of First Take. That's what we do every day. We wake up, we get our First Take on, and then we formulate our opinions from there.
I digress.
This happened. They were debating something about Kevin Durant this morning. I don't even know what it was because nobody really cares or needs to know. But the debate was surrounding Kevin Durant. Okay, so here's what you're going to hear here. This is on First Take. Stephen A. Smith is going to be ranting about something. Listen for a cough and maybe a follow-up fart. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Go for it, Steve.
And he's feisty. He ain't scared of anything.
Well, is Draymond scared of something?
No, but the difference is that Draymond is usually arguing and fighting with the refs.
There it
is. That's a fart. That's a fart.
That's a freaking fart.
That's a fart.
I didn't hear it the first 8 times I watched it on the laptop.
That's a fart.
I pushed the headphone into my ear. That's a fart.
That's a fart.
Max Kellerman dropped duty.
I had to listen about 3 or 4 times and I amplified. I was like, nope, it's there underneath. It was one of those bass.
That is a fart.
Yeah, real floppy ones.
Dude, that
there,
was a wet, floppy fart. That was almost like, Mike, you should pull that fart for primetime type fart. You know what I mean? Like, that's a real fart. Now, that I fart a lot and we fart a lot during the show. I don't know if I've ever had one picked up by the microphone. But I also would
I turn my mic off.
Do you when you fart?
Every time.
I kind of try. I want one to be picked up by the mic.
Do they have the lapel mics, right, that's on the body?
Right on their chest.
So, yeah, that might be able to pick up that reverberation a little more.
To the mic.
All right, let's hear this one more time.
And he's feisty. He ain't scared of anything.
Well, is Draymond scared of something?
No, but the difference is that Draymond is usually arguing and fighting with the refs.
That's an air biscuit. He mistimed the cough.
That is, well, I don't know if you can time that kind of fart.
Okay, well, you got to match those up there, Kellerman. Come on. You're better than that. I love the fake. That's like the fakest cough I've ever heard, too.
It's like, yeah. They had a moment because when I saw this, somebody saying it happened yesterday, but when I saw
it happened yesterday,
this morning, somebody did a still image. Again, I played this at home and I could not hear the fart. So I'm glad I heard it this time. They had a still shot of him about 20 seconds prior where they think he realized he had to fart and it wouldn't go away. And it's him just staring off into the abyss of like, oh, no.
Oh, God, I got to fart. I got
Don't
fart.
Be loud.
I
Don't be
fart.
Loud.
I got to fart.
And he did that terrible cough over and it still came out.
I'll say that, like, as somebody who deals with stomach issues from time to time, well noted throughout the course of the show, I understand that from Kellerman's perspective. There is no worse feeling than
getting... But you're not on TV in front of millions of people.
Thankfully, you can't see what I look like and nobody wants to see that anyways. But there's no worse feeling than getting like 2 minutes into an 11-minute segment and then getting the rumbles and realizing, like, I got to run out the clock here. I can't just, see you later, Sprague. Like, I can't just get up and walk out in the middle. Like, I probably wouldn't get in trouble for that, but.
No, if you did it, I would obviously understand.
There's some integrity at stake here. You can't just leave during the middle of a segment to go take a dump. But that I understand that for Kellerman when you get that moment.
So the last three are spot on. One, I think he did shart. I think it's safe to assume that. Two,
it sounded wet.
Did he S his pants is a legit question. And three, did Molly smell it?
She for sure did.
That fart had a smell.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
no way that sound comes out and nothing smells.
Have you ever let an accidental fart go in a really unfortunate situation? 55305.
You fart that way about 4 times a show, and guess what happens? I smell it every time.
You taste it. It's on your tongue.
I'm just to a point now where it's almost like a follow-up lunch for me, and I'm used to it. Well... guess we're eating another meal.
The great one.
Raw onions with ketchup.
Sausage for breakfast, huh? Thank you to the listener for reminding me of this. This is the Phil Simms one. Remember when Phil Simms farted? A lot of people think that's why Nance had him booted out of the booth for Tony Romo.
Farting.
He farted in the booth during an NFL game. You
There's
don't do
no
that
way.
To Jim Nance. You know who Jim Nance is?
Well, calm down, Jim Nance. You can't be that petty in this business. You understand that your colleague from time to time... look, females fart too. My mom just farted in front of me about a week ago. But men, I think men, we have this code. We understand. Marcus did this to me. We came back from the Blazer game and we're cutting up audio and Marcus goes, well, I gotta go to the bathroom now. And as I go to his seat to cut up audio, I mean, it wafted over my whole head just... And he came back, and I'm like, thanks a lot for that. And he's like, for what? I'm like,
what?
You know what you did.
You know what you own
and
it.
He just started laughing.
Claim it. Somebody texted in, and I've never heard this saying. Now I love it. Somebody said, as my dad would say, that's going to itch when it dries.
This is a perfect segue for what we have to do in the next 10 seconds.
That's a really good point, too.
Speaking of that dirt.
Stay tuned for the commercial break, and we'll tell you how to solve these issues if you deal with them on a regular basis. Somebody said I farted so loud, and it was so stinky, I thought I was by myself in my office. Right as the teacher walked in, I let it rip. She was devastated. Those are the worst. When you think you're by yourself, you're not understanding of your surroundings and what could be around you.
I don't know if there's a worse feeling in the world if you pass next to a woman that's not your serious girlfriend or wife.
Yeah.
That's a very awkward.
That's not good.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry this has happened.
That's not good. So Max Kellerman, I think we have investigated it. He indeed did fart.
Let's confirm it one more time.
And he's feisty. He ain't scared of anything.
Well, is Draymond scared of something?
No, but the difference is that Draymond is usually arguing and fighting with the refs.
That's a good one.
I love that. The fake cough leading to the fart.
It's unfortunate because, Mike, I don't think you can make that loud enough for a drop, but that's a primetime fart drop.
Kellerman farted. Crunch time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour, we'll answer some poll questions for you. Of course, we're going to have a ton more on Game 2, including Matt Pinto. He is the play-by-play voice for Oklahoma City. As we get ready for Game 2, he's going to join us at 2:15. I do want to start, though, just in general NBA terms, how much pressure is on both Denver and Toronto tonight to get back? And then how about what Philly did last night? Did that put people on notice? That is coming up. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.